well. I appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at a verse in Ecclesiastes. Seventh chapter, in the eighth verse, it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patience in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I noticed that in life, changes daily, or moment sometimes, not even daily sometimes. Situations can happen in life. I've learned not to get too much expectation for things to go the way I think they will, or hope they will. They'll change on me every time, seems like. But when we go through the battles, I think there is a place in faith that we all need to come to, that we all want to come to, is to know that God is real and that He's working in our lives, and that He's going to do the best that He can with us. And that takes the edge off of everything. If we can come to a place that no matter what's happening, that if we can come to a place to know that God is absolutely working in our lives and that God knows about all these things. I mean, I have to remind myself regularly that God knows and that God cares and that He's working in my life to bring me to a certain place. But this says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We miss it a lot of times when we start judging a matter before it's the end of it. You can do that with a lot of... You can look on a lot of situations and make a judgment about that and misjudge it because you're not to the end of the matter yet. You don't know what the Lord's trying to do in it. Or sometimes just in a natural sense, you can look at the information that you have about a situation, or maybe somebody says something and you can immediately judge that thing. But if you do, you're probably going to make a lot of mistakes about it, because it's better to wait to the end of the matter. And that's going to be the message this morning. Wait to the end of the matter. Because when we look at it in the middle of it, we can judge things as being bad, wrong, not acceptable, something I wouldn't want or dare have in my life. If I judge it in the middle of it, not knowing what the end of it is, when you allow a thing to develop and get to the end of it, you'll say at the end of it every time, if you live for the Lord, you will say at the end of it every time, right was the way the Lord led me. Right was the way the Lord did it. I couldn't see through it. There's a song in our book. I think I've got the right one. In 284. Let's see which verse I want. Well, it's all the fourth verse. "The waves around me fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. regarding not. Well, it ain't the end of it yet. And when I look and see the things that are around me, if I make a judgment, if I dare to judge that in the middle of the circumstance or the middle of the battle of it, the middle of the place in it, I may make a big error in the way I perceive it. That's why it's better. Better is the end of the matter when you can see. They say hindsight's 20/20. When you can look back and see all of the good, all the things that happened in the process of it. We've seen things happen, and I've been amazed at how God at the end of it worked through the whole thing and showed Himself so strong and showed Himself such a blessing in it all. And you look at it in the middle of it and say, there's no way that this can be right. There's no way that this can end in any kind of a place. But the Lord was able to make it all work out in the right way. It's better to wait to the end of the matter. It's better off to just focus on the place where God's at. It's better to get your eyes on Jesus in the middle of the circumstance and wait till He gets through to see what He's got in it than to say in the middle of it, I'm going to have to do something or make a decision of it, or this is wrong or right, but to wait to the end of it. The waves around me fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. In the middle of the darkest night and brazen sky, I don't know where this is going. Let me wait till it ends. I don't know what this might be doing, but let me wait till it ends. To the end of it, that I can see what it is that it's doing. If we live for that moment always without faith's unfailing eye. Faith's unfailing eye is that God is on His throne and that He is what He said He is. He said that I am love. He said God is love. God has proclaimed His love for the world by giving His only begotten Son. My faith has to ascend to that kind of a place in the darkest night and brazen sky. That no matter what this is that I see around me, God is still God. When my emotions fail me, God is still God. When my fears seem to overtake me, God is still God. Let me see what the end of the circumstance is. Let me see what the end of the matter is. Because that's the place that God wants to get us in while we're living through this life. To be an example and a witness for God, the world looks on and they want to know, is this real? And if all it is a superficial way of living for us, that when the trials come, God is some distant place and He's not affecting our lives, then it doesn't register with them. That there's a real God in there. But when you can calmly in the situation say, Lord, I know that You're still God. I know that there's a place here that I'm in. And we all know Romans 8:28. and we know this, that all things work together for good. We know that. But it can be so distant from us. And we can judge in the middle of these things. The thing about it is that very scripture, Romans 8:28, that very scripture says to wait till the end of it. For we know all things work together. We know this. Good. But there's a caveat to it, to those that love the Lord and called according to your part. There is something in there. But we know that this happens. But in the middle of it, when everything seems to be the darkest night and brazen sky, we can still say it's too early to judge this, because sometimes we need the darkest night. Sometimes we need to go from a sunshine, everything. We need that kind of place to help us. And that's what the Lord's going to try to do. God loves us enough to allow whatever it is in our life. He loves us enough that we can go. But let's not judge it too quickly. For better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The beginning of it will look dark, nothing, and it's never going to be light again, and it's never going to be good, and it's a hopeless situation, and it doesn't seem possible. But you and I know, when we look back, we're all here today. Look back at your trials. Look back at the ones that seemed like you could never get through that. How is life ever going to be meaningful to me again? How is this ever going to end right? How is it ever going to end? We've got people here today that ought to look and say, wow, I'm here. Brother Mansell's here. Brother Keith's here. I mean, you're here. How many times? How many times in places have you said, I can never get it back, or I'll never have it? But wait. Wait, you've judged too quickly. Right is the way the Lord has led. He's leading it right. And in the middle of it is no time for it. In the middle of it is the time to get your eyes on Jesus. I'll judge it at the end of it. When this is all, when we come to the further place, and oh, there's been times that I've said I would never want to go through that, but when it ended, I said, wow, God brought me through this place and brought such a pronounced ending to this that you can't say that it's not God. It was the Lord that worked in it. So better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than a proud spirit. This scripture all goes together in the idea of our patience. In your patience possessing your souls. In your patience, and say in the middle of the time, until you get to the end of it, patience, a patient spirit, is better than a proud spirit. A proud spirit is a know-it-all spirit, or a presumptuous spirit. It's a spirit that has to do it because you're capable. It's a very wrong thing to have in the middle of a trial. The best thing to have in the middle of the trial is a patience to be able to get to the place to the end of it, but by having patience that God is working in our lives. The Lord is working in your life. Because He's a faithful God. I want to think about a character in the Scriptures, the name of Job. I'm not going to take the time because there's a lot of story to Job. There's about 42 chapters of the book of Job. Starts out in the first chapter by this gathering of the sons of God before the Lord, and Satan comes also, and he was asked what he was doing, and he said he was going to up and down and to and fro, walking about in the world, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? How would you like your name to be mentioned there?" Well, keep me out of it. Mention somebody else's name. Mention somebody else. There's a lot of people. Mention somebody else's name. Well, nobody else's name mentioned. It was Job. Job, have you considered my servant Job an upright man? One that loves good, hates evil. You considered him? Yeah, I considered him. Been walking up and down and to and fro and walked all around him. Can't get but so close to him because you are God, and you put a hedge about him. I can't get so close. I can't touch him because I can't get too close to him. And here, he says this, but I tell you this, if you touch him, he'd curse you. You won't even let him be tried. You got a hedge about him protecting everything that he does. And the Lord testifies to him. He said, have at him. We know the story. Have at him. And so he gets the shock and awe treatment of losing all of his possessions and his children and the things that was important to him. You know what Job ended up, how he responded? He responded by by humbling self for God. Better is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof. Where does this go? What did I do? See, we're privy to the facts of the story, but Job wasn't there listening and saying, I got to prove it. No, he didn't know all that. The doubts that must have come, what did I do that the hedges tore down? I was so blessed and protected and everything is wiped out, but Job didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't sin. He said, God giveth, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wouldn't have had it to start with if he hadn't gave it to me. And he took it away, but he's still God, and blessed his name. So the devil comes back and says, skin for skin. You didn't get him close enough. You didn't touch him close enough. You can touch his possessions, you can touch the things, but touch his life, touch his skin. Let him feel pain and he'll curse you to your face. Have at him, the Lord said. Just spare his life. Now, here's Job, lost all his possessions, and now he's from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He's afflicted by boils. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He's miserable, scraping that old pus out of there. Just, he's miserable. You ever get into a place that in a place that nothing comforts you? Hey, listen. They said from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. I'm pretty sure it says that. I can only imagine that laying down wouldn't be comfortable. You'd had to lay on them somewhere. You'd had to sit on them somewhere. You'd had to knelt down. I always got them when I was young. I had several of them growing up, and it was on my knees. It was painful. I remember that. But he had them all the way, all there. What's this all about? Well, Job, here comes everybody in the middle of the trial. Well, you sinned against God, and you can read the whole book of Job is about making a conclusion before the end of the matter. Lord, talk to us. Help us. Help us to see plainly. But I want to read something about Job that I got a hold of in the 42nd chapter. You remember how his friends came? I think they were well-meaning, but it wasn't real encouraging. They come up and said, you've sinned. You've done something. I think his wife said, curse God and die. Well, that's real encouraging. The one that should be the closest one to you was telling you to curse God and die. That was a foolish woman. But his friends was all saying, Job, be reasonable. Be reasonable, Job. There's no way that you haven't done something to displease God. Look at your condition. You know, I had to have done something. Something's going wrong for you to have to have gone through this. But it was premature. Better is the end of a thing. Of a matter than the beginning thereof. You don't know yet. You don't know. Lord, help us in the middle of these things. Lord, what are you trying to do with me? Is anybody in here willing to raise your hand and say, I've arrived and I don't need any spiritual help? Anybody? Well, you ain't all arrived in, then maybe you might need something to bring that out. You might need something to alert your attention to a spiritual matter that you need. I'll raise both hands to say that I got needs in my life. Sure I do. Lord, help us do these things in this. But it's so premature to just come up against something. We can do it in relationships. We can do it in this. Hold off and wait to see what the end of the matter is. Maybe it's okay. Maybe the Lord's trying to do something else. Maybe the Lord's trying to touch somebody else. You come into a difficulty or a position and you say, what's this all about? Sister Billie Jean had a beautiful testimony this morning about years ago about a situation to where a doctor had, and then he ends up finding God. That's a wonderful, who can know what that moment might mean? And at the end of it, when God's through, You can judge the matter. And you'll see where God's in the thing. Well, here in the 42nd chapter, in the 12th, verse. No, wait, I'll go back a little bit. 11th, maybe. Then came there unto him all his brethren. No, 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of the acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm not going to name these names. I would mispronounce them anyway. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Now listen to this. And after this lived Job 140 years. And saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. He got completely filled up. But 140 years previous of his days being filled, he was in a situation that looked so hopeless, so grim, so bad, that if it hadn't have been for that unfailing eye that looks through the darkest night and brazen sky, if he had cursed God, he could have died. Had he have not stayed in there, it said that he gave him twice as much as he had before. He had all the fairest things. He went through this thing. God had a purpose for it all. In one place he said, I come for this gold. Job was better at the end of the thing to be able to manage and help in the cause of God than he ever was before. And you could have judged that when the boils was on his body. You could have made a judgment and said what this was all about. And you would have missed it altogether. I've lost something I can never gain back. He lost all of his critters. He may say it'll never work again. What's the use? You could be hopeless. You could be despondent about it. He lost everything. Here's a very, very wealthy man. Right? He was wealthy. He was a king of his day. He had servants. He had children. He had great flocks and herds. And he was a very wealthy man. The very nature of the day, if you study it, says that he had to have been a powerful man. Because you can't have that kind of flocks and keep them without defense of them. You have to be powerful enough to say, leave me alone. Or there was always somebody to come in and take them. That's what they ended up doing. So he was no doubt a person, and he ends up not having anything left. And you could have said, nothing left. It's hopeless. 140 years. After that experience, Job lived life. He no doubt would. People was sent to him, I think. People would have been sent to him and said, tell me your story. Well, I know somebody got his story. Many people got his story. It's better to wait till the end of the matter. It's better in the middle of it to get your eyes on the Lord. Lord, what is it that you're doing? Have your way in my life. If I don't circumvent this, we all do what we can do, of course, in situations. But what I'm saying is how do we go through that? How do we witness from our heart in the middle of that? Our God liveth. Our God liveth. I don't know what He's doing. I'll tell you at the end of it. You know what? A book don't make sense to go to the last page and read the last page. You got to read the book. And you start out from the beginning. And you know what? In the middle of it, the hero or the good people are in trouble. They almost always are in a start. Well, are they going? Who's going to make it? How are they? Read the book. Read the book, and you get to the end. It says that he rides off into the sunset. At the end of it, all's well. He's arm in arm with the girl. You got to wait. You can't judge it in the middle of the book. You got to wait till the story runs out. And so it is. In our life story, we have chapters, we have things, we have events that's wrote about by our lives. We have these things. You think sometimes, I want to tell you, you think sometimes that your failures, nobody wants failures. I want to fail. But you have them. Is anybody in here can testify that a failure made you better? Well, yeah, failures make us better. I don't advocate them. Who would? But when you have them, you know, sometimes when you gotta say, "I'm sorry," well, it's hard to do because you say, "I'm sorry," you say, "I'm wrong. I've done something wrong or wrong." But. If you look back at that, instead of telling it, when you look back at it, isn't it good? Doesn't a lot of times relations get better through problems? If you discard them, they won't, but if you go through them with faith unfailing, if you go through them believing that, you know, God can work out things. I remember, I'm going to tell this just as an illustration. It doesn't have a lot of meaning in it. You hang a lot on it. But I remember this as a young boy. There was a kid in school. His name was Joe Wolford. And I think Joe's still alive. He lives over in Webster. Joe Wolford. And we wasn't friends. We was just kind of acquaintances. We was in the same grade, but not the same classes exactly. Had some of us separated. And he was in another one. And so, but I knew him, but didn't know him well. Well, there was this dumb little thing going around, that people was doing, and where you come up to somebody and say, "Did you get the letter that I sent you?" And of course they'd say no, because you didn't really send them a letter. But that's a little lie, but anyway, that's what you'd say. And he said, "Well, I must have forgot to stamp it." And you stamped their toes. That was what little kids was doing. And so, you know, well, I did that. Somebody did it to me, and I thought it was clever enough. And so Joe Wolford comes around, and I said to Joe, "Hey, you get the letter that I sent you?" And he said, "No, I am. Well, I forgot to stamp it." And I stamped his toe, and he took exception to it, and some fists flew, and we got into a little scuffle about it. Well, we both were sorry about it at the end of it, and me and Joe ended up saying, "Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that kind of stuff." And me and Joe got to be real good friends because of that incident. It was wrong, it was bad to start out with, but it broke some ice and some stuff that made us both want better things. This is what happened. And so a lot of times in relationships, don't always judge a matter. What, Lord, help us. What can this relationship? Lord, I know you know how to make this, wait till the end. Wait! through faith's unfailing eye. Wait for it. Job's sitting there. He lives 140 years with the fairest daughters in all the land. He has twice as much that he ever had before. He lived to the fullness of old age. There wasn't anything, as Brother Ed would say, there wasn't anything left for him to experience. He had experienced God to the fullest. He saw God in what he had done. He had had the blessings of having a wife and children and relationships, and God had filled his days completely up with the good things, and he got to the end of it and it was full. What more can a man do? And he done it. And part of what was in his days full was a period of time to where he had such extreme adversity, he anchored himself forever in God. He anchored it there, and he can say after the end of it, the hardest thing that I ever went through, I'm glad that I trusted God and was faithful. And the old devil can come around and say whatever he will, but Job knows in his heart, I gave it all. I gave it all to God. I believed in God, and he didn't fail me. I stayed true to the one that I believe in, and he brought it all through. And I can look back and tell you the details of that thing and how God touched my heart and what he did. And sometimes when, remember God, Job's conversation with him, and God ends up coming back and said, Job, if I was hungry, would I ask you for food? What well did you make? What creation did you do, Job? Job's getting in this place and he's saying, I had some residue of old Job left. I had all this, and now I know why God let the devil do all this to me, because I'm sitting here with all of my stuff. And now I'm realizing that I have this kind of feeling about myself, and no, Lord, forget it all. Thank you. I come forth this gold. I couldn't feed you if you was hungry. Couldn't do a thing for you. I realized the depths of God. I think it was him that said that he had heard of him, but now I saw him with my eyes. I heard him about it at the hearing of the ear, but now I saw God. I saw him plainly in this place that he brought me to. You wait to the end of the matter. I'll guarantee you something. You wait to the end of the matter, no matter how dark the sky is or brazen. You wait till the end of it, and you'll see the goodness of God in it. You'll see the faithfulness of God in it. If you wait to get to the end of what that thing is, whether it's sickness or persecution, or whether it's troubles or distresses, whatever it is at the end of that thing, or hardship of life, you get to the end of it, you'll say, faithful is our God. He got us. Through. In the middle of it, I'm going to tell you, it can get, mine can come up with a lot of stuff in the middle of it. But at the end of it, you'll say, God was good. Another scripture. Let's see, 2 Timothy. Very familiar scripture. 2 Timothy 4. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, if you look back at the life of Paul, it was laced with difficulty. He was a mighty, powerful man of God, and yet it was laced with adversity, difficulties. He pushed through shipwrecks. What was the testimony? How many times he'd been beaten? 40 stripes, save one, because he was Roman, so they couldn't give him 40. They had to give him 39, I think was the deal. The number of times he was lashed, whipped. He said something over there, about Titus, about bringing the coat. Evidently he was cold. He was imprisoned. Had shackles on his leg. Paul the apostle, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put it all in God's will. But he went through the shipwreck, bit by a snake. Stoned and left for dead. This was Paul's missionary trips. But he didn't judge the matters. He kept going. That ain't the end. That ain't the end of it. And keep going. When he got to the end of it all, I believe his testimony would be, God's faithful. God, yeah, the snake bit me, but it didn't hurt me. Yeah, I was in sea several days floating, but I got out. Yeah, the ship went down, but the Lord spared us. Yeah, I was stoned, but not to death. I give it, but it didn't hurt. The Lord over and over had helped him, and he said, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've come down to the end now that I can judge the past with absolute 20/20 vision. And the most important thing, I kept the faith. Because listen, our goal ought to be set in every situation is that when the smoke clears and you can see clearly again, you still have your faith. Listen, we all understand failures. We all understand weakness. We all understand fear, don't we? Would you blame me for being afraid of something? Would you? We all understand that. You know what the bottom line of it all is? That our goal's set. When it all clears away, yeah, I was afraid in the middle of the battle. Yeah, I wasn't as strong as I ought to have been. But when it all gets through, there I stand. I still am serving the Lord. At the end of it, His way is right. At the end of it, Lord, help us in the middle of these things to have faith in God. The stronger our faith, the more resolute we are, the better the witness we have. Like I said, I think we're human. And in the middle of these things, we're going to have those kind of feelings and problems. And we're going to doubt what it's all about. There's where we need to lift up our eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author, and finisher. Wait, it ain't finished yet. He's writing a story. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus, how are you going to write this? Lord, the pen's in your hand. I'm looking to the one that's finishing it. Lord, write it the way you'd have it right. I'm going to tell you, he's going to write it good. It's at the end of it. He's going to write it out till you'll say, it's a blessed way. It's a blessed way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And this is what the end of it was. He says, henceforth, you want to know about the end? Wait till the end of the battle. Here you go at the end of it. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's you and I. And so the end of the end, the goal of the goals, at the end of it all is that it's pretty cheap price, whatever it is. It's going to be a pretty cheap price to hear him say, well done. Well done. You can't get there unless he gets to write it. What is the next chapter? I don't know. I really don't know, but it's going to be interesting to find out. But the Lord knows. And better is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof. The beginning of the matters are laced with misunderstandings. They're laced with uncertainties. But the end of the matter isn't. The end of the matter is 2020. You pray for me.